Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are back in Contact Report 215 of the Billy Meier case. This contact contains the now famous Hanok prophecies that talk about very disturbing things that could happen in the North American continent during our lifetimes. But I want to pick up in line 16 where Quetzal is speaking with Billy. Now, Quetzal is the commander of all the Pleiaran forces in our solar system, or at least the forces that were in our solar system before 1995. In 1995, the Pleiaran left the Earth. They wouldn't tell us why, but they did reveal their true identity and the location of their homeworld, which is some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space and time configuration. But Quetzal here is speaking to Billy, and he says, the science of genetic engineering is established in the laws of overall evolution. Therefore, it cannot be prevented, even though in the future, irrational ones who will unite together in whole organizations will want to destroy such progress by all unfair means, even with lies and false test reports and impact reports on genetically altered plants, animals, and humans. And we've talked a little bit about what genetic engineering is, what the DNA is, what the cells are, what the chromosomes are, and what the human genome is. And I'm sure we'll review that in the future, but I wanted to talk about some related information. Because of various events that have occurred on Earth, our lifespans have been greatly shortened. Initially, our lifespans we're about 1,007 years, according to Contact 39. And it says, in what I just read, that genetic engineering is established in the laws of overall evolution. So to me, it sounds as if, ultimately, genetic engineering will be very helpful to the human race. Although, right now, I do think we're in the beginning of this science, and some of the GMO crops and things like that still, I think, are not what they should be yet. But let me pick up in Contact Report 39 at line 66. It says that the earliest times when the human being of Earth was also produced by his indirect ancestors, his average age was reckoned at 1,007 years of life, for he trained and formed by his producers, and possessed an enormous level of knowledge and abilities. So our lifespans have been reduced lower and lower over thousands of years. And the Meyer material says that's because of the influence of religions, erroneous teachings, and because that we're no longer following some of the creational natural laws. And our actions are somehow affected by our genes. And the Meyer information says the more we turn to the truth, the more it can help our increase lifespans, and that also genetic engineering can extend our life by centuries. And there is a science now called life extension, which is the study of slowing down or reversing of the aging process. Let me pick up in Contact 39, line 74. It says, but the more the Earth human being turns to the real truth, and with this also to evolution in all areas, and so also in reference to life extension, the more his average life rises again. In Contact 217, the Pleiaran talk about how they have used genetic engineering to stop criminal behavior. And the Pleiarans do a kind of gene therapy on criminals, which literally allows them to be released back into society. And they can even find genetic problems in children who are still in the womb. So they do a kind of gene examination at the prenatal age of about 7 months, and that way they can correct genetic problems before the child is born. And in Contact 228, it talks about genes in part playing a role in our consciousness and psychological impairment. And in Contact 228, it talks about something called polygenetic influences, which I think are related to polygenetic inheritance. Polygenetic inheritance is the heredity of complex characters. And polygenetic inheritance is determined by a large number of genes that have individually a kind of a small effect. But it's really interesting that our consciousness impairment can also be affected by other things like trauma. Now listen to this. Our consciousness can be impaired by technological sounds, drugs, alcohol, and anxieties. And I find it very interesting that sound can affect our consciousness so dramatically. Maybe as a musician, that would be interesting to me. Contact 217, line 24 says, the development progressed rapidly, so already soon, early detections of gene damages of the aforementioned kind became possible, which naturally led to the fact that these cognitions were used and that the genetic deformities, the genetic abnormalities, and other harmful genetic influences were already repaired in the growing child in the womb. Thus, an irrefutable law has been enforced since then, namely that every child, so every girl and every boy, is to be arranged into a gene examination or a gene analysis at the prenatal age of 7 months. And in Contact 228, line 67, it says, consciousness impairment and psychological impairment are based in principle on polygenetic influences and are multifunctional, which means they are simultaneously caused by genes and other factors. The genetic material, however, is not solely responsible, but also viruses, trauma, technological sounds, alcohol, medicines, drugs, anxieties, and unjust or hysterical behavior can affect our consciousness and our psyche, which I think is absolutely fascinating. Well, let me step back a little bit. We've been talking about Contact Report 215, which occurred on February 28, 1987. But let me step back in time just a little bit to March 26, 1975, when Billy had his 10th contact with a woman named Semyase. And Semyase is his most well-known contact and maybe in some ways one of his shortest contacts. Semyase, during the contacts with Billy, was about 344 years old. She had blue eyes and light blonde hair. But in 77, she suffered a life-threatening accident in the Silver Star Center in Hinterschmidt-Ruti when somebody accidentally came into the room when Billy was having a discussion with her. She tripped. She hit her head on a table, I believe, managed to beam herself up into her ship, and eventually she was taken to ERA, the home world of the Pleiaron, for medical treatment and rehabilitation. So, as an after effect of her accident, and this occurred in 1977, she had a cerebral collapse. Excuse me, the cerebral collapse occurred in 1984, and she was transported off to the Tao universe. So anyway, the contacts between Semyase and Billy were cut short because of this brain accident, this head accident, head injury anyway. But Semyase was the one who was initially supposed to bring the spiritual teachings to Billy and therefore to the people of the earth in this generation. Although, I think this information has been repeated through all of Billy's incarnations. And remember, his spirit form that the extraterrestrials refer to as Nokodamian has incarnated as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And each time he had an incarnation on the earth, he taught the teaching of the truth, the teaching of the spirit, and the teaching of life, which we just call the teaching of the spirit today. And I really personally identify five areas of instruction. I'm sure there's more in the teaching of the spirit. The first of all is understanding the creation, the universal consciousness. The second is learning about the human spirit. The third is understanding reincarnation. The fourth is learning to control our thoughts. And the fifth is taking personal responsibility in all areas of life. So let's recall some of the things that Semyase told Billy on this meeting on March 26, 1975, at roughly 3:20 p.m. in the afternoon. She said the human spirit does not die or sleep during its deepest sleep. It records all of our thoughts and motions. It informs the human whether his thoughts are correct or false if he has learned to pay attention. Now, the human spirit resides in our midbrain, in an area between the two hemispheres of the brain, and it's a tiny pinpoint of energy, but it also sends its energetic influence to all areas of our body. It enlivens every cell. The human spirit, you could think of almost as the real you. It survives death, and it is this neutral, positive spirit form that cannot be harmed in any way by anything in the physical realm. If you have a nervous breakdown, your human spirit is just fine. If you crash and have a car accident and are killed, your human spirit is fine. In fact, when you die, your human spirit comes out of your physical body and it goes into this spiritual realm. This area where there is time between lives. And what the spirit form does is it processes information that came from your material consciousness. So between lives, our spirit form is taking the things that we learned in our life that are of a neutral positive nature, like love and patience and honesty and things like that. And it's processing that information and storing those. And that's how you become wiser from lifetime after lifetime. Now, there's something in the spiritual realm that every spirit form has. It's called the overall consciousness block. And the overall consciousness block processes your consciousness block from your last life. The consciousness block has your ego, your personality, all your experiences. And when that process is done, when all of the experiences from your previous life that can go towards wisdom and understanding have been processed by the human spirit, the universal consciousness will take that spirit then and put it back into a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg and then a new personality is placed in the frontal lobe of that child. And that material consciousness in the child has to learn all over again. In the subconscious is all the wisdom placed, all the wisdom of all of those previous lifetimes. So as the child grows up in the new lifetime, he has kind of a head start over his previous lives. He'll get inspiration from his subconscious, and he'll get impulses from the storage banks. Now, what are impulses? And I did a pretty interesting study a while back on what impulses are and what the storage bank is. Now, in the German, as you probably know by now, all the Meyer contact notes are written in German. So I'm going to refer to some German words here. The first is strudel. The strudel is a storage bank archive for the spiritual teaching. When we think of an archive, we're often thinking of like a library or some physical records. But in the storage banks are information that's stored. It's of cultural value, scientific value, medical value, all kinds of value. It's stored in a kind of energetic form. And if you know how to pull information out of the storage banks, you can pull this information down from yourself, for yourself. Now, Billy has pulled the first 14 chapters of a book called The Goblet of Truth out of the terrestrial storage banks. And so that information was already up there, stored in the universe in this storage bank archive. Now, the German word Speicherbank is translated as memory bank or storage bank. Now, this storage bank is accessible. It's available, it's open to the public, it's approachable if we know how to get the information. The German word zugänglich means accessible and open. Now, we get impulses from these storage banks. What is an impulse? An impulse can have different definitions depending on what perspective you're looking from. In physics, an impulse is something that gives something else momentum. In the medical world, they study impulses that come from the brain as an electrical signal down the nerves into a portion of the body like the hand, and that's how your brain tells your hand to move. An impulse can also be a sudden wish, an urge. In science, an impulse can be a sudden flow of electrical current in one direction. Now, Billy, as a very, very young boy, growing up in he grew up in Niederflux, Bulak. One May evening, about 3 a.m., he just woke up and he climbed out of a lower window there. And he went outside and he sat down on the bench and he looked up at a beautiful starry sky and he heard impulses, signals from the universal storage banks. And he heard his own lips say, almost as if someone was speaking to him, "Since ancient times I lived among the stars." And suddenly he knew who he was, what the mission was, and he had memories that seemed to penetrate him, semblance of a particular feeling, a mental state. And again, in this writing called How It All Began, the storage banks are mentioned, and it says, "Already at the age of 4, the great recognition instantly changed my life. because after I was familiarized with this insight and understanding, by means of impulses from the storage banks, I also learned who I really was, what I had to learn and do in my life, and what my life task was. So perhaps if we become open to these impulses from the universe, from these storage banks, the Spiker Bank, it will help us to learn who we really are, what you had to learn and what you had to do in your life, and what your life task is. There is also impulses in the subconsciousness of all human beings, impulses that come from ancient Vedic teachings. So if we open ourselves up to these impulses, and I think through meditation, it can help very much in terms of opening yourself up to these things. Let me read something from you. For you here that deals with these impulses. Billy also got or receives information from a spiritual plane called Arahat Astrasada. Let me read something from one of Billy's writings called Sfas Explanation. Therefore, also practice spiritual telepathy, in which, along with many other things, I will instruct you. Because the level Arahat Astrasada can only connect with you in this manner, whereby, however, there will only be one-sided communication. Thus, you will receive only that which is instructive. So this is a one-sided communication. These impulses, these signals, come down from the storage banks. And that's a great way to receive wisdom. So what is wisdom? Well, the German word Weisheit means wisdom. Wisdom deals with the ability to think, the ability to have knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, insight. Wisdom often requires you to control your emotional reactions. Wisdom deals with defining what is true. So, our spirit form is going to receive impulses from our previous life while we grow up in this life. And this is the way wisdom builds one on another, lifetime after lifetime. Anyway, I was talking about this contact report 10. We were talking about how wisdom is passed on lifetime after lifetime, how your spirit form processes the information that your material consciousness gathered in the previous life. So that's what goes on in the afterlife, in the time between lives. One interesting thing that A couple interesting things that Semyase said about the human spirit. She said the inner dimensions of the human are endless. And she also said that the spirit is the wonder of all wonders, that all power emanates from the human spirit. So the human spirit is a very powerful tool. You have a little tiny energetic creation that comes directly from the universe consciousness. It's almost like the hologram. Let me ask you that the human spirit is the seat of the infinite, but few are aware of that. And because the human spirit is connected to the universal consciousness, our thoughts have an incredible power associated with them. And Billy has written a whole book on the something called the might of the thoughts. And it describes our consciousness as being like a garden that needs to be correctly maintained. And we have to keep examining our thoughts and looking for thoughts that are incorrect, thoughts that are growing wildly, particularly negative thoughts. Look for in your consciousness for any thoughts that have a confusing and destructive effect. And a lot of times we have repeating thoughts which have a confusing and destructive event. So you want to reach in there and pull out those weeds. Those destructive thoughts are kind of like weeds. If they're left alone, these wildly destructive thoughts can have a tremendously negative impact on your psyche. I'm going to play a little bit from this great movie called DNA, episode 2 of 5, Playing God. And then we'll be back in maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I really like this. We'll get back up. We'll pick back up with genetic engineering.
Fifty years ago, two scientists made a discovery that would change the world. Jim Watson and Francis Crick revealed the structure of DNA, the single molecule that carries the genetic instructions to build all living things.
We'd done something really important. So we had discovered the secret of life.
But how could the billions of lines of genetic code that make everything from a human to a hippo be unscrambled? What were the genes for eye color, for cancer, for intelligence? Searching for the answer triggered the creation of a powerful new technology, genetic engineering. It enabled scientists to manipulate DNA and transfer it from one species to another, allowing the genetic makeup of plants and animals to be altered in the lab. This work sparked a storm of controversy that continues to this day.
We're worried about some of these experiments. Maybe you all haven't thought about them. Why don't we all get together and talk about it?
Some saw this work as a threat to humanity.
There could be contamination, infections, something that could fall out of the laboratory, such as a Frankenstein.
Others believed it was the future.
These experiments offer exciting potential both for advancing knowledge of fundamental biological processes and for alleviation of human health problems.
For the first time, humans would have the power to accelerate evolution according to their own design and alter the destiny of life on Earth.
DNA produced this brain. The brain understands DNA, so DNA eventually came to understand itself.
Inside every cell of every living thing is an incredibly long molecule of DNA. If we could magnify DNA 10 million times, this is what it would look like. Scientifically accurate computer animations enable us to see how it is intricately wrapped up inside each of our cells like a 1,000-mile-long strand of spaghetti. Biologists knew that hidden within these coils were a large number of different genes, but where did one begin and another end? Which genes made flesh and which ones blood? Could they find all the genes that make the proteins of our body? To solve this puzzle, they needed to find a way of cutting the strand into manageable gene-sized chunks. Back in the 1970s in California, a group of scientists came up with a radical idea to tackle this problem. If they could isolate individual genes and transfer them to another species, they might be able to understand how they worked and what they made. No one paid much attention at the time, but a young researcher named Herb Boyer was about to become the world's first genetic engineer.
But I thought there were a lot of exciting things to do.
Okay, Herbert Boyer became the world's first genetic engineer. He discovered a method to coax bacteria into producing foreign proteins, and he kind of jump-started the field of genetic engineering. Boyer spent his time in a hospital studying bacteria, and he found an enzyme that would cut DNA. And Herbert Boyer met this guy named Stanley Cohen, and the two guys started working together, and they were able to use DNA enzymes to cut DNA. And then Cohen had managed to get toads from genes, and Herb Boyer spliced these toads from genes directly into bacteria, and then the bacteria cells started to produce toad DNA like a factory. Very, very amazing breakthrough. Let's pick back up in our clip.
And then severed it like a pair of wire cutters. In theory, the strand left dangling could join up with any other piece of DNA. When Herb Boyer met Stan Cohen at a conference, they compared notes and realized that between them they might just have the tools to do something extraordinary.
I was very interested in Herb's science. I thought the work that he was doing was exciting, and I thought the ability to use enzymes to cut DNA in a specific way would be very useful for the kinds of experiments that I wanted to carry out.
Cohen had spent years isolating genes from various species. Until now, he had nowhere to put them. Among his collection was a gene from an African clawed toad. In March 1973, Boyer and Cohen began an historic experiment to try to get the toad gene to work in a bacterium. Using Boyer's enzyme, Cohen sliced open the bacterium's DNA and inserted the toad gene. But would the bacterium treat the new DNA as if it was its own? In another part of the bacterium, they would find out. When the toad's genetic instructions were translated from DNA code into the building blocks of all life, protein, incredibly, the bacterial cells were tricked into producing toad protein. DNA's instructions.
Okay, so the bacteria started to produce toad proteins. Let me pick it back up in contact report 215, line 23. Quetzal speaking here. It will be the year 2002 before a genetic attempt will officially become known with which plant and animal genes will be brought together. About this, we have acquired probability calculations which show that the whole thing will report itself in Japan in the sense that the genes of spinach plants will be transferred into pigs. Wow, that's amazing. Nevertheless, this won't be the first case, for the same and similar things will already happen prior to this in different countries of the earth from their scientists as a result of their research. It's just that the world public will learn nothing about this. So there are a lot of things going on, probably including human cloning, that we don't know anything about. And again, it says it right next here. It says, like also about the cloning attempts regarding humans and animals. I know that animals have been cloned. A sheep has been cloned, and then there are cloned cattle in Texas. I've seen a special on that. Even in the current time, many series of experiments like these are already running in scientific laboratories around the world. It's just that these are concealed, and to be sure, with the full authorization of irrational, irresponsible genetic opponents, therefore, ways of inhibiting progress are thought up by those who, out of complete ignorance and often influenced by sectarianism, try to restrain the development themselves, and to them, all unfair means are right. And this will also remain so in the new millennium, at least for the first two decades. The Meyer material is very pro-genetic engineering. I'm still a little a little on the fence about some of these GMOs, particularly food. I'm not a big proponent of genetically modified corn. I don't even like the way it doesn't sit well in my stomach. Anyway, let's pick back up in our clip on DNA, playing God, it says.
Dangerous and outrageous experiment that anybody could possibly do.
I posed to her the simple question whether she had thought about the fact that she was bridging evolutionary barriers that had existed since the last common ancestors of bacteria and people.
Berg had proposed transferring cancer genes into a widely studied bacterium called E. coli. Unfortunately, this bacterium also thrives inside the human gut.
You have tons of bacteria in your gut. The most common of these is E. coli. My scenario is you handle these bacteria. They have a tumor gene in them. They get into your gut. You have no idea. You don't have diarrhea. You have no symptoms. And they live there. And they propagate there. And they make clones, and they're very happy there. And then a piece of the DNA gets out and makes a tumor in your gut. I called Paul Berg, and we had two conversations. The first of which was very abrupt, and I don't think a phone conversation can be thought of as violent, but it was unpleasant.
He called me to convey his concern, and I said I thought it was bunk. My first reaction was that this was absurd. I didn't see any risk to it.
You ever scratch your head? You ever pick your nose, touch your nose, touch it like that? That's it. Here. That's it. If you're
okay, what does the Meyer material say then about this controversy? Billy says, idiotic, especially when one considers that the progress cannot be stopped, not even when the lunatics rant against it. But so it has always been on the earth, for there have always been pathological idiots who don't want to allow progress, who brace themselves against it, and with this often caused much disaster, by what means often many people lost their lives who have been saved if the progression had been allowed, especially with regard to medicine and food preparation. Now, Quetzal says this is correct, but consider this. Billy says, foolishness always precedes reason. Let's pick back up in our clip here.
It was the period of just after the Vietnam War. People were concerned about doing things that would come back to haunt us. So I think there was probably a little extra sensitivity to doing something responsible.
The ban on DNA experiments put the future of genetic engineering in the balance. Paul Berg warned that if scientists didn't police themselves and control this new technology, then the government might intervene and shut them down. The scientists agreed to meet in California to set guidelines. But one of DNA's founding fathers, Jim Watson, was concerned that airing doubts might awaken public anxiety.
Human society has prospered because it tries new things. Some people are afraid to do new things. You know, I guess you call them conservative. I've never been conservative about moving ahead unless I had reached a word. I thought these people just want the world to stay as it is. And I don't want the world to stay as it is.
In what used to be a church in Asilomar, California, 150 scientists gathered from all over the world to discuss the fate of their research.
The issue that does bring us here is that a new technique of molecular biology appears to have allowed us to outdo the standard events of evolution by making combinations of genes which could be unique in natural history.
For 4 days, the scientists wrestled with a paradox. They were excited by what recombining genes could tell them about nature, but some were afraid they might damage forever the very life they sought to understand.
In the press, the danger became magnified, as if we were equating the danger from recombinant DNA to nuclear energy.
In addition to the scientists, a select group of lawyers and journalists had been invited. They were surprised to hear that most of those planning experiments had little experience of handling infectious agents in the lab. It was all too easy to imagine a disaster scenario.
Part of what was...
Let me talk a little bit about the genetic engineering that's gone on in the past. And this would fall under the topic of the seraphim cherubim genetic manipulation. And this comes from part of the Meyer writings. And it says that not too far away, it will be possible through genetic manipulation of plants and animals to create entirely new forms of life. So it can be said that something called gene sodomy will eventually come to be, even if it is contrary to the laws of evolution. Now, my understanding is that gene sodomy is creating life that doesn't currently exist, that has the ability to replicate itself. And I'm not so sure that the Meyer material condones that. Let's see what it says here. That is to say that genetic engineering and gene manipulation in itself is contrary to the laws of creation, because that is not the case. Quite the opposite, because both lie within the frame of creational principles and therefore are in line with progress and the evolution of human beings. So gene sodomy is the creation of not normally appearing life forms by crossing the genetic material of different flora and fauna. For genetic engineering to be considered gene sodomy, these newly formed creatures must be able to reproduce. So gene sodomy is considered against the creational natural laws. And what the Meyer material says about gene sodomy is that it is Asartung, which is the German word, which means to get very bad, out of control of the good human nature, through which, as a result of gene intersections of different flora and fauna, genera to form new species and new kinds of life, which are themselves capable of reproduction, and thus in a position to testify progeny or to give birth. Genetic manipulation of any other kind does not fall under it, because it is in whole always only through gene sodomy in which new life forms are created and, as I said, are capable of reproduction. So I guess as long as we're not creating new life forms which are capable of reproduction, genetic engineering is fine. But here they talk about animal humans, which they put in braces, seraphim, and human animals, which are embraces cherubim, which has been glorified in a rational-based teaching of the Christian religions as angels. So evidently, what we read in our Bibles about the seraphim and the cherubim were actually plant and animal hybrids created by these extraterrestrials that were here on the earth in ancient times, but we didn't understand what we were seeing at that time. So we wrote down in our ancient scriptures that these were angels, that these were seraphim, that these were cherubim. So now we have this whole erroneous line of thought based on this. Again, this is the Meyer material, their perspective. I know there are other perspectives. Seraphim is the plural word for seraph. And according to the Christian religion, the seraph is one of the celestial beings that hovers above God's throne in Isaiah's vision. And they're also talked about, I think it's in Revelation chapter 4. The seraphim is one of the fiery six-winged angels that are attending Jehovah in Isaiah's vision. And seraphs are said to be a member of the highest order of angels. And sometimes they'll be represented with a child's head and wings above, below, and on each side. However, the Meyer material just says these were animal humans. that were created via genetic manipulation in ancient times by the Lyrians. And the seraphs were traditionally regarded as the burning ones, the flaming angels, through which the word seems to have some etymological sense of flying. And there's maybe a confusion with the root of the Arabic word sharafa, which means to be lofty. Some scholars identify it with the word found in other passages. And in other passages, we see the term fiery flying serpent. The Latin name seraphim leads back to the original Old Lyrian word, the symbol for serhab, which was used for animal people created by gene sodomy. So these Lyrians did some really bad stuff with genetic engineering. They created unnatural beings which could literally reproduce themselves. So that is against what the Meyer material refers to as the creational natural laws. Let's pick up in our clip.
It's the stamp of approval.
The process of the Silomart created a field, an investment capital field. It caught the eye of investors. The fact that it might be potentially dangerous, that it was then cleared by the government, got an official imprimatur of safety, made it, for investors, very romantic and attractive. That's the unintended consequence.
The business world was excited. Venture capitalists recognized that genetic engineering was poised to become a highly profitable technology. But their wager on DNA was based on a critical assumption: that genetic engineers could protect their invention in the same way as other engineers. The law was put to the test in Chicago in 1978. In a landmark case that determined whether living things could be patented. A young Indian researcher working for General Electric, Ananda Chakrabarty, designed a bacterium that could eat up oil spills. His boss was keen to exploit his ingenuity.
He said, "Have you done anything to make sure that this thing is protected?" So I said, "I don't get it. How do I protect my invention?" And he said, "Well, you first write a disclosure letter, and then you apply for a patent." And I said, "Apply for a patent? What's a patent?"
Every day, the U.S. Patent Office receives hundreds of applications to register original inventions. If successful, these descriptions, or patents, grant ownership of the invention to the inventor and prevent others from copying the idea without permission or payment. Most patents were for mechanical devices. Up until the early 70s, a living organism had never been engineered. Biologists had never thought of themselves as inventors.
GE had patents.
So biologists can, in fact, be inventors. And I want to talk a little bit about some genetic engineering that the Meyer material says has occurred in our ancient past. Technically advanced humans existed in the Sirius system called the Creator Overlords. And the Meyer material explains that they created a new human race with a limited lifespan of 100 years. Now, these technically advanced humans from the Sirius system descended from the Lyrians, from the Lyra Vega system, and they were genetic engineers, and what they ended up doing was they genetically engineered out of themselves the tendency to fight, because they thought that their forefathers for the Lyrians had a kind of defect. And the Lyrians, they were fighting all the time. They colonized other worlds. They conquered other worlds. They fought among themselves. They had all kinds of issues with aggression. So anyway, this group left the Lyra Vega system, went to the Sirius system, and they started genetically engineering their own population. They went too far, and they completely depleted their own race out of a fighting spirit at all, so they were kind of defenseless. And these were the creator overlords. So they created this new human race with a limited lifespan of 100 years. And these people bore barbaric traits which tended towards degeneration and cruelty. Well, the genetically manipulated people ended up fleeing the Cirrus region. And the reason they fled the Cirrus system is because the creator overlords decided they were going to wipe out their creation. So they found their way into our soul system, and several thousands of these genetically manipulated people found refuge on the planet Mars and on the planet Melona Phaeton. Remember, there was another planet in our solar system called the planet Melona. Now, on these two planets, the genetically manipulated people, who also had benefactors with them, these were descendants of the Lyrians, people that came from the Cirrus system that still had the long thousand-year lifespans. Anyway, so just keep in mind that there are these two groups on Mars and on Melona, and they built cities, they built pyramids, they built stations, on, among other things. And they led a good life on the planet Mars until the planet became uninhabitable through cosmic influences. What actually happened was something called the Destroyer Comet came through our solar system. The Destroyer Comet is a giant comet, 1.7 times the size of the Earth. It used to come through our solar system from time to time and wreak havoc. And one of the things it does is it caused Melona and Mars to switch their orbits, and this caused all kinds of trouble. And I want to say something here. The Destroyer moved Mars into this other orbit, and Melona was still here. And Melona drifted away for a while. And anyway, Melona was eventually destroyed by these genetically manipulated people. But some of these people came to Earth, and now all people on the Earth, we have this genetic defect, which causes our shortened lifespans and our increased aggression. And that's one of the reasons why extraterrestrial races don't want open contact with us, because they don't want this genetic defect to be spread off world. Let's pick back up in our clip. Playing God here with genes, DNA.
Machinery of bacteria to churn out drugs. They wanted to produce proteins like insulin or growth hormone that are naturally made in the cells of our bodies. If they could locate the genes for these substances and insert them into bacteria, then these miniature living factories could manufacture drugs on an unlimited scale.
One could then ask, well, are there any human proteins which would be of value to make, value to mankind? And insulin was one of the first one thought of. Insulin has a long history of as a molecule that saves people's lives. So you could look at insulin and say, here is a molecule you could choose to make.
Since the 1920s, insulin had been extracted from the pancreases of pigs and cows to treat diabetics. But tons of meat had to be processed to produce a few grams of the drug.
One problem was there was a shortage. Tons of insulin were being made each year to treat diabetics, and the supply of pig pancreases and cow pancreases was a problem. At that time, we didn't have the genes for the insulin. And so the first problem was to try to find the genes, actually, for the human insulin.
Gilbert set himself the tough task of trying to extract from human tissue the small section of DNA that makes up the insulin gene. Different genes are switched on in different organs. In the cells of the pancreas, the insulin gene is very active and churns out many copies of the genetic message needed to make insulin. By extracting these, he planned to produce the exact section of DNA that codes for human insulin. But the question came up whether Harvard would allow him to manipulate human genes in an open lab.
So there we go, the story of manipulating human genes in an open lab. And I'm sure we're manipulating human genes a whole lot more than we realize. I imagine we probably have clones of human beings by now. And later in Contact 215, I think it will talk about cloned human beings that will be used for war in the third millennium. Third millennium is the time we're in now. It's the time of slowly approaching global collapse, a time when maliciousness and confusion spread all over the earth. And we'll be talking about some of these prophecies about what could occur in our time period. I want to thank all of you for joining me, and also stop by Freedom Slips tonight. FreedomSlips.com, Studio B, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll be talking to Dr. Tom Vallone about zero-point energy, and I will be talking to Joel Gilbert about a fantastic movie that he's made on the true origins of the president, Barack Obama. And I think you'll be very surprised if you listen to that show tonight. Anyway, thanks for joining me. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a good afternoon.